You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, Bills Mafia? I'm Fernando Shimuli, that's your leading the charge. And today I have the pleasure of having with me a former Bill, Jerry Ostrowski. Welcome, man. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem, man. Great to be back on with you. How you doing?
I'm great. And I always great to have a former Bill with me. I have the pleasure of having you and Stevie already. So
awesome.
Every time I can bring a former Bill in, it's a pleasure to have you on. You know, the kind of stuff that you have with military up there in the U.S., like, oh, thank you for your service. I have with you, all right, as former Bills. Thank you for your service.
And, well, and you're welcome.
See you as the same as me, for sure, man. So
I don't like to think of myself as playing football, you know, at any level near what those guys do, but I do appreciate that, no problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally different situation, but the respect that we have for you as former Bills players and how you represent Bills Mafia, there I really have the utmost respect for all of you former Bills players. And it's awesome to be able to talk some Bills football with you, right? So
right.
Today I can't wait, and I'm sure Bills Mafia can't wait to hear from you, and so we can talk about this unique situation, because it's not every day that we see a game where the Bills can be, if they win, the number two seed, and if they lose, maybe be out of the playoffs entirely, right? So do you remember any situations from your playing days, Big O, where you had something similar like that, out of playoff games, obviously, but where a game was so meaningful was this one?
Well, I remember a game against Jacksonville. We played Jacksonville, and I believe it was kind of the end of an era. I think Jim Kelly retired that season. Would be 96 if I remember correctly. But we played Jacksonville. We lost to them, and we didn't make the playoffs. And usually when you have a team that's been on the cusp of greatness or has been a great team and you start to have that backslide a little bit, changes come, and they're not usually easy changes. And like I said, that was when Jim retired, and then some of the big names started moving on from the Bills and kind of morphed into my last game in Buffalo, which was the last time we were in the playoffs, which I believe was the Music City Miracle game. And, you know, then the start of the 17-year drought began. So, yeah, I mean, it's you definitely don't want to miss the playoffs, because a lot of times, you know, you kind of are forced as a front office to make some changes. And, you know, this Bills team is on the cusp of that. I mean, there's some guys that are a little bit older. They have some cap considerations next year. They are way over the cap as we speak. And they probably will have to make a couple of tough calls this offseason. But, hey, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what's going to happen on Sunday, which is the Bills are going to win in Miami, and they're going to be the second seed in the playoffs. And they're going to take – a season that has been, you want to talk about highs and lows. I mean, this season where they're going to not be in the playoffs and they make the run to where now they got a chance to be the two seed. They make a change at offensive coordinator in the middle of the season, but yet they're still able to be in the position they're in. So very, very resilient team this year in Buffalo. And they've proven quite a bit, and they've got one more game to really prove people wrong.
Yeah, no doubt, man. The momentum is really good for this Bills team right now, coming from a lot of victories, and obviously there are some stuff that still worries us, I think, about this, how this offense has struggled here and there, but also a lot of positives, and we have a lot of lot to talk about in today's show. I just want to ask Bills Mafia to hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel so you can support our job here. And Jerry, it's interesting when you talk about that game in Jacksonville and this change of guard or this time for change for that team, because just like you said, this team, yeah, hopefully we have Josh Allen for a lot of years to come, and James Cook just making his first Pro Bowl right now, and we have a lot of young guys that can be there for a long time still, but some other guys probably in the end of the road, at least with the Bills. Last week, I saw a video about Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde leading the charge down the tunnel, and we don't know. Maybe we are watching the last few games with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde as this duo, this tandem at safety, right? And the Bills, just like you said, some decisions to be made in the future. How do you feel about those guys having a less opportunity to make the playoffs and to go on a run and try to end their Bills career maybe at the highest note possible, right?
Yeah, we talked about it last night on Hump Day and also on Line to Gain here on the Rumblings Networks. And we talked about – I brought up Jordan, and I think Jordan's having one of the best seasons he's had in quite some time. We know Jordan has had, you know, all-pro seasons. He's been an all-pro. But this season under Sean McDermott as the defense coordinator, McDermott's style of play really, really – brings Jordan Poyer through. He's a physical safety. He comes downhill. He'll play a gap. He'll make tackles. He can blitz. So if you're looking for a guy that you want to sit back and cover two and be more of a passive center fielder, I don't think Jordan's that guy. I mean, Jordan's skill set is to come up field and make plays. And I think that he's really reaped the benefits of playing under a more aggressive blitzing style of defense from time to time that McDermott puts on the field. So I think that signing him for 2 years, I think you'll see him again next year. His price tag is not that big. Micah, I don't know. I mean, one thing about Micah Hyde is you cannot question his toughness. I mean, another guy that loves to play physical at the safety spot. He's had the neck injuries. He's had stinger issues this year where he's had to miss some games. And, you know, where does he end up? I don't know. Just because of his injury situation. I don't think when he's healthy and he's playing, he still plays at a high level. You know, you look at the offensive side of the ball, really I'd have to think that you know, Josh will continue to be the player that he is. He's still, you know, very young in his career as long as he stays healthy. Offensive line-wise, we're young up front. Probably Mitch Morris moves on. They'll probably have to find a center. I think he's about ready to retire. That's not, you know, that's to say that maybe he changes his mind, or I don't know if he's going to, but say he decides he wants to play another year and he comes back at a contract that's friendly to the cap. You bring a guy like that back because he's a tremendous leader up front. You'd have to think wide receiver-wise they'll do some things. Obviously, Gabe Davis in a contract year with a team that's $29 million over the cap, if that number is correct, and I believe it is. It's going to be hard to re-sign a guy like Gabe, a guy that maybe isn't just a demon as far as running routes and making every catch, but he makes the big catch when he needs to make it, and he does all the dirty work. He's a tremendous blocker, and he's a tremendous leader. So, you know, if you could keep a Gabe Davis around, you'd love to. If you can supplement around him, that'd be great. I think the biggest contract on the Bills right now that you really have to look at, and you have to wonder how are they going to manage it, would be Von Miller. I mean, Von Miller's price tag is immense. You know, he's 30-some years old. He's really struggling coming back from the ACL. You'd have to think that next year he'll be back closer to the Von we know, but right now he's not. You saw that last week. I was actually in Buffalo for the Patriots game. You saw that last week with the healthy scratch. He did not play. They played Epinesa in his role, so... yeah, I mean, there's going to be some spots where guys are going to have to do some things. There's going to be some guys that stay on the team that are going to have to make some decisions of how they want to help the team manage the cap if they want to continue to have the talent accumulated that the Bills do. So, yeah, there'll be some definite question marks. But if you go ahead and win Sunday, those things aren't quite maybe as pressing or at the forefront because, again, this team makes a playoff run after having such a rough middle stretch of the season, tremendously banged up, especially on defense. We got Daquan Jones back, and he all of a sudden, you can tell the difference since he's been there. You know, Phillips is a guy that maybe is a cap expenditure because he is also up there in age. So, yeah, there'll be some tough decisions to make.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And I'm really curious about one guy, and I really want to ask you about him because I really feel bad for him, man, because that's a guy who I appreciate a lot. I love his game, and I believe he took too long to have an opportunity, and it looked like he was the last option. And when he finally got the opportunity, he ran away with it. He took the job and made the offensive line better. And that guy is Ryan Bates, right? He's he isn't playing much this season. Thankfully, the offensive line has been very healthy all year long, right? And even when using an extra offensive lineman, this guy has been Edwards and not Bates. But thinking long term, maybe at the center position, Bates can be an option there. He's familiar with this offensive line, right? He's played there. And that's a guy who's very dependable, in my opinion. How do you feel about the prospects of having Bates maybe as the long-term replacement for Morse if he decides to retire or to move on?
Well, I think, Fernando, that's a great point. And I think it's a great point because a guy like Bates is a guy that you hope that you can have around as that glue guy, right? Your sixth man off the bench. You know, does Edwards come in first off the bench? I don't know. Edwards is kind of a swing man between guard and tackle. Excuse me. Then you bring Bates in, and he's kind of that center guard guy. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, and we talked about it a little bit ago, when you have a cap situation, you're not going to go ahead and have a Mitch Morse retire and then go out and find a high-level center for a high, high price tag because you've got some cap considerations. So, yeah, I mean, you draft a guy, maybe a guy that you have to develop a little bit, and you have Bates play that spot. So no, that's a great point. I mean, he's a guy that understands the system. He's been there before. And, you know, slide Bates in at center, kind of have him be the stopgap until the guy you draft gets the experience and gets the ability to take that job over. Because, you know, it's one area that I don't think, and you made a great point. I think it's one area that people don't really look at. And that is with today's cap, and the quarterback sucking up so much of that percentage, and in Josh Allen's case, it's almost 25%, if not 25% of the cap for the Bills, it's harder and harder to have guys like that. In the old days when you didn't have a cap, you know, your backup offensive linemen were all 10, 11-year guys, guys that had played, maybe didn't have the body anymore to play every week, but would give you a couple games when you needed them, right? And those guys are hard to keep around nowadays. But Bates is young enough. The price tag's not that steep. And I could see that, you know, have him come in, be the guy that takes that. And what's to say that he doesn't develop into a really, really good center to where you don't have to have another guy come in. So, but no, that's a very good point.
And yeah, he is already surprised once, right, when nobody expected him to be able to become a good starter, and he was able to hold his own and to improve our offensive line in that opportunity. So I wouldn't write him off. And before moving on, just want to still talk a little bit about this offensive line, because I feel like this season the offensive line has played better than what people expected before the season started, right, Jerry? And one of the big-time differences I see with our offense right now, and one thing that really makes me hopeful with this Bills possibilities in the playoffs this season is I used to see this Bills offense as a totally finesse offense, you know, like an offense to play in domes, an offense to when we use it to have the home field advantage playing Buffalo, but during playoffs it didn't look like an advantage because of the weather and it looked like we couldn't impose our running game. We couldn't be more physical than opponents of defensive lines. And not this season. This season it has changed. We see our guys playing a real physical brand of football on the offensive line. We see them all the time being able to be more physical than opponents. We see that they playing with that edge. And obviously, sometimes you face great defensive lines like the Jets or even the Patriots one that make things tougher. But most often than not, I've seen this offensive line playing great football, being real physical and being able even to manhandle opponents and to establish that run game, that new line of scrimmage to make our offense be able to move the chains, even when the passing game seems a little bit off. How do you evaluate this offensive line this season and according with your expectations before the season? Spencer Brown has developed well this year. It looks like he's finally trending in the right direction with all mm-hmm. that physical potential. Torrence has been awesome as a rookie, in my opinion. And even Deion Dawkins, a guy who I used to like, but now he's playing on a whole another level, in my opinion, with all the physicality. How do you see the entire offensive line and how this group has developed this season? It's been fun to watch as a fan, but I would like to hear from you, a specialist. And you played all over the offensive line when right. you were with the Bills, right? You played from left tackle to right tackle, I believe, every position. So really curious to hear from you.
Well, you know, we talked about it off air. We talked about, you know, your playing career as a goaltender professionally in Brazil. I talked about my career. And, you know, one of the things we talked about was how hard it was to practice and play when you were most of your time was spent dealing with injury and overcoming injury and rehabbing from injury, right? Mm-hmm. And I really believe that's what we had with Spencer Brown last year. He didn't have a full year to get back from that back surgery. He was behind the eight ball in conditioning and strength-wise. And to his testament, he battled through it and did the best he could and showed an extreme amount of toughness playing through that. Now, this year, he's had a full offseason to rehab. He's healthy. And now he's playing at a level that people expected. He's a big physical right tackle. Sometimes he has a little bit of a deficiency in pass protection just because of his height. He just, you know, it's a leverage thing. It's physics, right? But he's playing at a much higher level because he's healthy. You know, you talked about Torrence. Torrence has exceeded my expectations at right guard. And the thing is, when you put him at right guard next to Brown, you've got a physical pair of run blocking offensive linemen. Torrence has had quite a bit of issues with his pass protection as of late. I'd say over the last six games, a lot of film out there on him and guys study film and know maybe some of his deficiencies. But when you look at him overall as a second round pick and what he's meant to this Bills offensive line, he's done a tremendous job. And like I said, the thing that I like the most is, and you touched on it, the physicality of him and Brown next to one another has really helped our running game. Of course, Morris is like the sun coming up in the morning, right? He is a tremendously consistent, smart center. He's a leader. He plays at a high level. If he has any issues, it's because he's getting a little bit older. The guy that I think really brought the glue to the front is McGovern at left guard. And the reason I say that is now you put a guy that is a veteran that played some games in Dallas, understands what it's like to play in the National Football League, really, really athletic offensive lineman, maybe not a guy that's going to take a dude from point A to point B, but really gives you some options, tremendous pass protector, and another veteran voice. And I think that's why you've seen Deion go back to his Pro Bowl level of play. Deion's kind of he's the X factor up front. When Deion Dawkins is playing well, that offensive line is playing well. And he's played light years from where he was last year. I think, you know, Deion's always been a high-level offensive lineman, maybe backslid a little bit last year, don't know what he was dealing with. He might have had some injury and things like that. But the thing about the line up front, Fernando, is you have to have comfort. You have to have trust, and comfort comes from trust of the guys you're playing with. And you can see that this group understands what they want done. You can see they trust one another, the communication between the five. And I think that's the biggest deal. And like you said, the biggest thing that's happened in Buffalo in the last 6 weeks or however many weeks it's been since Joe Brady took over is Joe Brady has made it a point of emphasis to get Cooks the ball and run the football. And when you go to the playoffs, you got to be able to run the football. And that's what's giving teams some fits. I mean, let's be honest here. We'll talk a little bit about that Dolphins game here in a minute and give our predictions and those types of things. But I think going into that game this weekend, that's a big deal. We're playing much more physical up front, which is going to allow us to run the ball, do play action, and hit some stuff downfield when we need to. But that group in general has really exceeded expectations and has played at a level. I mean, obviously, Josh Allen has some Houdini in him. Plus, he's incredibly strong, so he can throw the ball with a couple guys hanging on him, right? But this group has only given up 10 sacks this season. And that's a big deal. That's much better than the year before. And, no, I'm very happy with the guys up front. I mean, I think it's quite obvious that they are gelling quickly. And, you know, we were on with Eric Wood a few weeks ago, and he made a point that I didn't even think about. You know, this is the second season under Cromer, the offensive line coach, right? So now all of a sudden this group is that much more comfortable with what he wants, that much more comfortable with his techniques and how he teaches things. And I think the other thing that's interesting is I've always been a big, and I think you'll understand this being an athlete, you know, there's those tapes, right? Or there's those clinics and everybody says, you need to coach it this way, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? There's guys out there that really, really play well that are professional level players, but they've got another way to do it. And they do it really, really well, right? I think that he sees that. And I think he allows these guys some freedoms in what he's trying to teach. He gives them some freedoms in how they do some things, and it's coming through. So I'm very, very happy up front. I think it's going to be a big advantage for us this weekend.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Man, that was exactly what I was going to tell you about Cromer and the second year under him, because when the Bills brought Cromer back, I was really happy with that, because I loved his work in his previous
stay down in Tennessee. Bills. Yep.
Yeah, and I had the opportunity to interact a little bit for a couple of tweets with Roger Saffold last off season. Right, he was I don't remember exactly what he tweeted about, and I just asked him a question on Twitter like, okay, Roger, why do you think this? That was the question. Why do you think this offensive line didn't play up to their level, up to the expectation that we had for them? Especially even himself, he came to the Bills as a Pro Bowler and couldn't play at his best for the Bills. And he answered the tweet telling about, look, it's the first year under a new offensive line coach, and I believe next year they will play even better than this season. They will feel more comfortable, and right. And it made total sense. And we are just watching it, because I'm not an offensive line specialist, Jerry, but just like you said, as with my experience as a goalkeeper in soccer here in Brazil, I had my goalkeeper's coach, right? And sometimes when you deal with a new coach, and the coach wants you to do something in a different way than what you are used to do, it takes some time to be able to do it in a high level, because when bullets are flying, it's easy to revert to what you are used to do, right? Yep. It's natural. Like I had several situations where I had some coaches, oh, I wanted you to position in a different way. I want you to be a little bit more aggressive in those situations, or I want you not to be so aggressive in other situations. And it took some time to get used to what they wanted, because I had my play style, my way of doing things, and I had to practice hard. I had to make it, to repeat it until it become the natural, right?
Right.
And I feel like this offensive line, especially for the young guys now with Cromer, I feel like this season maybe they finally are being able to start to do it more like he wants it and not how they used it to do with the former offensive line.
Which you know, is a testament to those guys as well, that they're coachable and they're willing to make those changes, because a lot of times a guy that's been in the league for 5-6 years, He's like, look, man, I think I got this figured out. I don't need to change what I'm doing because I've been here a while, right? So it's a testament to those guys, too, that they're willing to be coachable and they're willing to listen to new ideas. And then also, again, like I stated earlier, it's also, props to Cromer that if there's some guys that maybe do it really, really well but don't quite do it the way that he wants them to do it, he gives them a little bit of freedom to do those things. And I watch Deion quite a bit, and Deion does have some freedoms out there to do some different things. And obviously, it's working.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. You just talked before this offensive line talk about the Bills struggling with injuries during the season, the early part of the season, midway through this 2023 season. And thankfully, it seems like they are getting healthier at the right time, right? With the most important game of the season right ahead against a divisional rival. And on the other hand, the Dolphins are starting to get really banged up for this game. They have a huge list of players dealing with injuries this week, right? And how are you expecting the Dolphins to line up and to play against the Bills, knowing they already have this their playoff spot is safe, right? It's secure. I really believe they will want to win the division. It's a matter of not just better seeding, but as an athlete, as a team, you want to take the Kings off their throne, right? You're going to be the division. For the Bills, right now, since it's down to the last game, it's obviously personal, but maybe they weren't, oh, we got to win the division this year again. No, we got to win the Super Bowl. We got to have a great playoff run. But for the Dolphins, win the division is a big thing. Just it was for us back in a couple of years or 3 years ago. So how can you see this Dolphins team playing against Buffalo this week with so many injuries, so many problems, a spot in the playoffs already safe, and coming from a tough loss against the Ravens?
I think that the biggest thing is in situations like this, and we saw it in Buffalo in the early part of the season, middle part of the season, when you had guys going down like Milano and others, Trey White, for instance, this is where the general managers, you see what your general manager has done, and this is where he earns his money, okay? Because it's one thing to be able to go out and pick out a superstar or whatever, bring him in, but the depth that you accumulate through the draft and free agency, this is where it shines, and we've seen tremendous play out of Dotson. Bernard has played amazingly. I mean, there's arguments to say he probably should have been a Pro Bowler. Trey White goes down. They make the move. They get Rasul Douglas, who has played at an unbelievably high level. Rapp has come in and taken reps for Micah Hyde when Micah was out, right? Guys have stepped in. Puna Ford and others have stepped in. Some of the acquisitions they made inside on defense when Daquan was out, and Jordan's had to be out a little bit. They re-signed Ed, and Ed's playing at an incredibly high level. So I think that's one thing that shows what has your general manager done with your roster and your depth. And obviously the Bills have shined in that area, and Bean has done a wonderful job. Now, on the other side of it, now you got the Dolphins and you got players that have been backups. You look at that defensive end spot with Chubb going out now with an ACL. Here's another defensive lineman that has an opportunity to go out and shine and show that he belongs, right? So those guys play hard. Those guys that get these opportunities play really, really hard. And the thing, I believe in one thing in athletics, maybe more so than others, and I believe in human nature. I really do. I really believe in psychology and how these things all play out. And I think it's why it's imperative that the Bills really start fast. If the Bills start fast and don't allow the Dolphins to hang around, eventually, all of a sudden, human nature takes over with, yeah, we're a little banged up. Yeah, we've already got a spot secured. Yeah, we're fine. And that kind of competitive spirit tends to diminish. If you allow the Dolphins and these backups and these guys coming in and get an opportunity to play much, much more than they have been, and you give them that opportunity and all of a sudden you give them that hope, it's harder and harder to get those guys to back down. So I think this Dolphins team is going to come out incredibly energetic, with a ton of confidence and a ton of emotion and spirit, guys that want to show they belong. And I think it's the Bills' job to match that energy and knock that down to where you're into the start in the third quarter. Say you go out like they did this week against the Patriots. You have an opening drive for a touchdown. And all of a sudden that fire kind of diminishes and starts to smolder as opposed to really flaming up. So I expect a very competitive game from the Dolphins. I think the Bills match up really well. I think the Bills, with the injuries on defense for the Dolphins, I think the Bills' physicality and their offensive line is going to shine through. I really like Buffalo this weekend. And the main thing is, though, I really kind of like the last time we played the Dolphins when it was, I believe it was 8 to 10 drives in a row, touchdowns were scored by each team, right? They matched the Dolphins' energy blow for blow, and they finally got that stop and got off the field on third down and gained the advantage. And then that momentum goes into the second half, and they take control of the game and play probably their best game of the season in Orchard Park. So, yeah, I believe that the Dolphins will show up and play hard and play well. If the Bills can start fast, I think they have a chance to, you know, to knock them down pretty quick and take control of the game.
Yeah, man, I can't lie. I'm really confident the Bills can win this game and can win the division again. And I don't know. I won't say the Dolphins are frauds, okay? But
right.
But man, because they've won a lot of games, and it's not that easy to win in the NFL, right? It's really hard to win games in the NFL, no matter if they won against teams that aren't over 50%. Man, they did their job. But I feel like, I don't know if because the last game, last Bills Dolphins game, or now the game against the Ravens, and I feel like the Bills really have the advantage with the lines, you know, the offensive line, the defensive line. I think right. They really can be more physical than the Dolphins. And I really see the Dolphins kind of similar to the Bills from the previous years, when they had a lot of finesse, but they didn't have that physicality to deal with more physical teams. And that's how I feel about these Dolphins. I don't know if you feel something like this.
No, I feel exactly like you do. And I think that's exactly what Baltimore took advantage of. I think Baltimore is probably, if not one of the most physical football teams in the National Football League. They rank up there with the 49ers. They are a rugged team, right? They play very well on both defensive lines. And I think that's what Baltimore did. I think they beat him into submission. I'm not taking a lot of stock in the last couple of weeks with the Bills. Mm-hmm. And this is why. And I say that, I say offensively. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the San Diego game, you're playing Saturday night, Christmas weekend, right? You're flying across the country and you're playing San Diego. Everybody's like, well, you're a professional. You should be able to get yourself up for that game. Again, I talked about it earlier. It's human nature, man.
Yeah.
Guys want to be with their families over the holidays.
Remember the Jacksonville game some few years ago?
Yeah.
Like, nobody wanted to be there. You could see it.
Right. I mean, I had a newborn son who was born in October and got up Christmas Eve morning, you know, and kissed him on the head, and we spent a little bit of time at the tree as a family, and I walked out the door, and we got on a plane and flew to Green Bay. I wanted to be with my wife and my young son, right? Mm-hmm. It's human nature. And then you go last week, and I went up there last week to the game, and I brought my boys with me, my two oldest boys. My oldest is a coach at Drake, and my other son plays defensive end at the University of Tulsa. And then one of his teammates came, and my oldest boy's fiance, but we were talking about the game, and Jackson goes, how do you think this game's going to go? I go, it's going to be ugly. And they're like, well, why do you think that? I go, Belichick does not have a talented team, but he's a good coach, and he will find a way to make this thing ugly and give his team a chance to do something like pull a fluke playoff, do whatever, get turnovers, and have a chance to win the game. Lo and behold, the first kick of the game, they run it down and score. It's 7-0, and we go 3-and-out, and all of a sudden – it's like, here we go, right? And the difference was nobody expected the Patriots to turn the ball over four times in the first half, right? which they did. And we didn't score touchdowns on everyone, but we got enough going and then scored the touchdown out of the locker room. But yeah, I mean, I think this team, the Bills are a, they rise to the occasion, right? This team is a rise to the occasion type team. They seem to match the energy of the opponent and to match the energy of the game and how much, I don't want to say pressure, but how much weight is put upon this game. This game for all the marbles, okay? It's a game for all the Infinity Stones. It's a game, however you want to say it. And this is the type of game where the Bills play well. So, no, I'm very confident coming into this game. I'm kind of, I guess, what Deion said today. It's a very something quiet confidence, meaning it's a high level of confidence, but he's not talking about it. So
yeah, respectful but confident.
So I'm kind of in that same frame of mind myself.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, man. And with the offense recently and with Josh, I've seen a lot of people questioning and again saying the offense isn't right, Stephon Diggs isn't right, Josh Allen, something's wrong, he's a little bit off, and maybe Brady got figured out after having that being that spark after firing Dorsey. How do you feel about this offense? Because man, I have a tough time asking more from Josh. You know, it's not saying he's perfect, obviously. He has his misfires here and there. He will miss some wide open wide receivers here and there. After all, he's not watching the field from all 22 right. coach film. He's in a totally different situation. Right. And when we take all the advanced metrics, man, if Josh has missed people, other quarterbacks have missed even more. So I kind of feel like people are wanting Josh to be perfect recently, you know, like demanding him to be perfect, and I feel like it's not fair. I really have a hard time trying to ask Josh to do more than he has done recently, because that's a guy who's, let's be honest, even our run game wouldn't be the same if not for Josh being a threat, right? It's totally different with Josh right. being a threat, and people want him to never miss a receiver, never be a little bit inaccurate, and they forget how many drops sometimes are happening around him, or how many stuff sometimes around him could be better. So how do you feel about this Bills offense going forward? This game against the Dolphins is for all the marbles, just like we put it out here. And then going forward, all the games can be the right. last one. Bills right. need to enter on a run or continue this run that they are right now and win it all. And man, I have a really hard time trusting our defense to lead us. You know, I love our defense. I think they are really good. I think I love Sean McDermott as a defensive coordinator. I have my questions about him in crunch time. I hope he can continue to be the Sean McDermott from the Kansas City Chiefs game, the Sean McDermott from these last few games in crunch time, and not the Sean McDermott from 13 seconds or from Eagles game or from Broncos game. That's why I really believe we'll need our offense leading the way and the defense playing complementary football, creating some turnovers. If possible, not being out there with 2 minutes remaining, you know, right. if possible, it's being the offense scoring and ending the game. How confident are you in this Bills offense? What do you think really is slowing them down right now? Is Josh really playing below his level? Is he really responsible for the majority of struggles? Is it around him? What do you think about it all, Jerry?
I think last week Josh Allen played terribly. I don't think he played very well at all. I think he'd be the first one to tell you. And if you listen to his press conference, he talked about having some mechanical issues that he usually works on that he hasn't had much of a chance to as of late, and was going to work on those this week, and he would be fine. So I don't think he's played tremendously well. I don't think he deserves to be the MVP of the league. I'm not a stats guy. I talked about this with the fellas last night with Spence and Joe. I think that fantasy football has ruined the way we look at the game. I think it's ruined the way we analyze the game. I think it's an analytical approach, which is if it was simply stats, the game would be real easy to play, right? You just need to hit certain landmarks and you're fine. But there's a lot of situations that take place in football. For instance, I'll give you an example from last week. The interception he threw into cover two. He throws more cover two interceptions than any quarterback I've ever seen. When I say cover two, he thinks he has a receiver open on a route, and the safety sitting back there in the back half to just come over and make the late pick. I don't think that, you know, he has played at the level that he's played in the past. Now, saying that, I think he is a unicorn. I think that Josh Allen is a tremendously big, a tremendously athletic quarterback. And without him, we wouldn't even be having this conversation about the playoffs. He does a lot of things to extend plays. His play to Shakir in the Chargers game was the second best play I've seen in quite some time. The other one was when he was falling out of bounds, I think against the Cowboys, where he completed the ball down the sideline. That was one of the best plays, if not the best play I've seen in quite some time. I don't think he's great playing a team that runs a ton of zone coverage. I think he's a great quarterback against a team that plays man-to-man because he extends so many plays, which means the cornerbacks and the secondary have to play man for a longer period of time. It gives his receivers to get open. So offensively, I just think we have a deficiency in the receiver room. I don't know if Diggs is hurt. I don't know if something's bothering him. It seems like he slowed down a little bit. I do know that his number one play right now, where he makes his yards, is running a hitch. He's going to run a 10, 12-yard hitch, catch it, try to get run after catch. He did have the ball down the middle of the field wide open last game. Josh overthrew him. I think that was a product of that pick he threw earlier in the game where he underthrew it. Mm-hmm. I think the key to this Bills offense right now is they have to continue to feed Cooks the ball in the running game. I think McDermott gets a little nervous with Cooks because he has put the ball on the turf in critical moments. You hear McDermott continually talk about complementary football. Putting the ball on the ground and giving it to the opponent is not complementary football. So that's why I think maybe there was a little bit of hesitation this week in the running game, but the facts are there. He's a Pro Bowl back. You've got to feed the guy. You got to continue to get him involved in the passing game, and they've done that. So I think this Bills team, as long as they decide to go out and try to establish a run, it'll open up other stuff. One thing for this past week that I was pretty fired up about was I think Shakir's kind of stepping to the forefront as that go-to slot receiver, the guy you hit on quick routes on third down when you need third and eight, third and six. He seems to be that guy that Josh is finding play after play. So as long as he continues to do that, we somehow continue to get Diggs involved no matter which way it is. And then our tight ends. I mean, Kincaid is a long ball threat. You saw the play against the Patriots this weekend. They'll be fine, but I think it hinges around the running game, because if we expect Josh to go out and throw the ball 50 times a game, that's not good for this offense. They've got to continue to run it. You talked about the defense. Players got to make plays, right? And I know that McDermott gets a lot of flack for certain things. You got fans, I think, in general, have to figure out what they want. If he's too aggressive and they make the big play off of that, why are we blitzing? If he plays soft and they make a play, he's too soft, right? So I don't know if he can ever make anybody happy. But I think the thing about this defense is it is a good defense. It's showing it has the propensity to get the ball turned over. They're getting turnovers. And with Rasul Douglas playing at the level he is, Bernard and Dodson playing at the level they are, Jordan Poyer playing like a young Jordan Poyer, and then Daquan comes back, and then Ed Oliver, who I think was the biggest Pro Bowl snub in the league, Ed playing at a level that we haven't seen Ed play at. I mean, this defense is going to be fine as long as the offense continues to do what they do, which is establish the run, establish field position, and don't continually put the defense in a bad spot.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bills fans, please like, subscribe to Buffalo Run this channel. We appreciate it. Big O, yeah, this defense, it's really difficult in today's game to be able to when I talk about not trusting the D to lead the way, like it's I can't see a defense nowadays being able to do what the 2000 Ravens did or even more recently when the Ravens had the Super Bowl against the 49ers and they still had a pretty good defense that could lead the way. But for example, last year, the 49ers with that great defense, they did all they could, but the Eagles with that great defense, they really did all they could, but at the end of the day, Kansas City found a way to beat them and to win that Super Bowl. So I find it really difficult to be able to shut down a lot of great offensive opponents in the playoffs and lead the way to the playoffs. That's why I really feel like the offense must be on fire, playing really well, so the defense need to be in that situation where
it's an offensive league now, right? For now, I mean the rules dictate they put it on a platter for the offense. So it's incredibly hard to play defense in this league. You can't touch anybody. You can't do anything. You can't touch the quarterback. Yeah. So, you know, obviously it is an offensive league, and the league wants points scored, and they're going to get some points scored. So, obviously you can't see a defense going out there and shutting out anybody. It just doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, that offense has to do what they can do to take some pressure off of them. And I think the biggest thing, especially against Miami, because Tyreek's going to play, we don't know what Waddle's going to do, even though Tyreek's banged up. 85% Tyreek is still faster than most people in the league, right? If you you know, you hope you can get to Tua on the injury report. You know, you're not going to stop
your running backs on the injury report too, right?
Right. You're not going to completely stop that offense. So you've got to be able to keep them off the field with your running game, control the ball, and, you know, try and get them turned over. So we'll see, man. Last time they played, it went pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one great thing about Josh. Even if he's a little bit off on the passing game, he's still a threat and he's still an option to pound the rock and to help in the with the running game. So that's really important. And with all those injuries and the Dolphins having some trouble in their secondary, they just allowed a lot of yards and all day long to Lamar to throw the ball. And now they lost Xavier Howard injured. They have some question marks in their defensive backfield. I feel like that's the perfect game for the Bills to get those secondary weapons, especially not talking about Diggs out there. We've seen Diggs and Josh kind of cook Ramsey more often than not, right? But and they will have this possibility again. But I feel like with all these other guys being forced to be out there, it might be the perfect game to maybe establish somebody else. Like you said, Shakir is doing a great job getting open recently on short, quick throws that Josh sometimes is avoiding, and he might be able to take advantage of. Gabe Davis kind of started to appear again in the last few games, and when his number was called, he could catch the passes, convert first downs. It might be the right game for Kincaid to get back on track and might end the season and start the playoffs on a high note. Even Dawson Knox, who has been quiet since his injury and just getting back. Do you feel like this game can be an opportunity for this offense to establish new options? Because let me tell you one thing, Bigo. I have a tweet. I don't like to delete my tweets. You know, even if you go to the year Josh was drafted, you will see a lot of tweets hating the pick, and I will never delete them because I feel no shame on getting wrong an evaluation about a player. Or, man, it's part of the job. If the general managers and the scouts make mistakes all the time, why Fernando from Brazil can't do this mistake, right? So, the thing is, when I'm wrong, I'm the first one to say, man, thank God I was wrong about Josh Allen, right? And on the other hand, I was really right about Lamar Jackson. I felt like he was a unique talent, and it's showing also, right? And about this thing about tweets is before this season, I tweeted that the biggest mistake by Brandon Bean or the biggest missed opportunity for Brandon Bean this offseason that he would regret would be not adding Nuck when he had an opportunity, the Andrew Hopkins, right? I felt like adding the Andrew Hopkins to this offense would really make them put them on a whole another level with two great targets in Diggs and Hopkins, and kind of put all the other weapons in places with less, not less pressure, but less responsibilities. You know, like Gabe Davis wouldn't be the wide receiver two anymore. He could be a top-notch wide receiver three. Kincaid wouldn't be necessarily a top-notch receiver in his rookie year. And so I felt like it would help this offense a lot, and I even questioned about, thankfully we never played without Diggs, but if we miss Diggs injured at some point, how confident are you with all those other weapons? Gabe Davis number one, Shakir number two, you know. So that was my tweet about not adding Hopkins when they had the opportunity. Obviously there were cap considerations, but I really felt like the Bills weren't that they didn't really want to add him. They wanted him if he were cheap, right? If not, they wouldn't make a lot of gymnastics to add him to the fold. So now here we are with the offense kind of struggling a little bit in the passing game and an opportunity against the Dolphins, the banged up Dolphins secondary, to establish some of those young players. They need confidence. They need to produce sometimes to be able to feel like, okay, I can do it. I can play against those guys. I can be the guy for Josh when he needs it the most. They need this kind of confidence. Do you feel it can be the game for those guys?
You know, I think that, you know, look at the first game we played Miami. This is the same receiver group. Mm-hmm. The receivers have not changed. So obviously, yes, they can. My thing about this offense going against Miami, if there's any quarterback in the league that is like Lamar Jackson, it's Josh Allen. Those two are very, very similar, extremely similar. And obviously, I think Josh gets the advantage with the passing and the arm. Lamar probably gets the advantage with the running. But still, these are two big-armed quarterbacks that make plays with their feet. They can ad-lib and find guys downfield. I mean, I think this is a game where we can, like I said, I expect us to play well. We've done it already with the same receiver group. I don't know if Diggs is going to play like he did in the first game. I don't know how he is injury-wise. I know that a lot of people say he's fine. Some people say he's not. He doesn't seem quite right to me, but then again, I'm not a doctor. But I just think that this is a team that can always – go out and perform well and play well. I think Shakir is kind of the guy that is moving forward in that group, getting closer and closer to Gabe Davis as far as Josh Allen trusting him and Josh Allen throwing him the ball when he needs to. So, no, I expect us to play well on offense. I really do. You know, when have we ever talked about the Bills at this point in the season over the last so many years? We've kind of had our injury bug, right? We lost our guys early, and we still have guys out, but the guys that have come in to take over have done a tremendously good job. And so we're relatively healthy coming into week 18, and And I think we'll play at a high level on Sunday night.
Yeah, man. And even if this offense hasn't been the same as maybe prime Dable's years when we had that perfect game against the Patriots, actually a game that I think spoiled a lot of Bills fans. We kind of don't respect the Pats anymore since that game. I remember that game. I was really scared before that game because I was like, my goodness, Belichick is going to do something in the playoffs and he's going to take us out. And then the perfect game happened and I feel like Bills Mafia never respected the Patriots the same as they did before that perfect game, you know. And then the game, the 13 seconds game, where the offense also was awesome and the passing game was really great. I don't think this offense is at that level right now, but they can run the ball better. They can impose themselves better on the ground compared to that team, and that can be really important, especially with a win next Sunday and the seed 2 playing at home in January. It can be a difference maker. Big O, to close it out, you played with those guys, and obviously there are a lot of differences in schemes, in eras, in players. But as a fan, it's kind of fun to talk about this kind of stuff. I also used to tell, especially people here in Brazil, like, okay, the Bills found their new Jim Kelly in Josh Allen, right? And yeah, we had our underrated in Stephon Diggs. Again, totally different players, different styles, different guys, different persons, right? But we have those guys. We have our franchise quarterback. We have our new Jim Kelly. We have our new underrated. But we haven't had our new Thurman Thomas to replicate that great Bills teams from the 90s, right? And today, Vic Fangio just said, wrongly, in my opinion, that James Cook is the best Bills running back since Thurman. And I was like, oh my God, Fred Jackson, where's the Fred Jackson respect? Where is Shady's respect? Where is a lot of...
See, I don't consider Shady a Bill. I still consider Shady an Eagle. He just was he was just rented by the Bills for a while.
Absolutely, but he was really important as a Bill. And I will go, I'm with you on this one, because I will tell one thing, and it's crazy, and a lot of people will hate me for that, but I still have Willis McGahee over Shady McCoy, as crazy as it sounds, man. Right. I love McGahee running the ball for us. Travis Henry was awesome for us, right? And then we had Beast Mode. We had running back never was the problem for those Bills, but recently we haven't had a lot of success running the ball, and now James Cook is a Pro Bowler. So how do you feel? Do you think really we have our can James Cook be our new Thurman Thomas? Like, obviously, Thurman was an MVP, but James Cook is this kind of dual threat out of the backfield, can receive passes, can beat you running or receiving. And the Bills still have Josh, they still have Diggs, and now they have Cook. Do you believe they can kind of bring back those 90s-style Bills offense with those guys at those positions?
I think I'll let Thurman say it best, and Thurman's been on Twitter the entire season campaigning to get James Cook the ball more. So I'll take Thurman's word for it over my own word for it. And he was right. We talked about it when Joe Brady took over as offense coordinator. I said the one thing I'd like to see him do is find a way to get the ball in Cook's hands more, and he's done that. Is James Cook a Thurman Thomas tailback? He has the ability to, but he has to do one thing. He's got to learn one thing. I've never been around a running back that was as good at pass protection as Thurman. Thurman was an unbelievable – his most underrated aspect of a back. We talk about how he could catch the ball out of the backfield, how he could run the ball. He was unbelievable as a pass-blocking running back. And if you look right now, we kind of do a little bit of a tell. When we really need to throw the ball, they bring Latavius Murray in because they trust Latavius Murray on pass pro more than they trust James Cooks. if Cooks can get to the level of Thurman in the backfield, or even close to the level of Thurman as far as pass protection, yes. I mean, now we're talking about a guy that's at the level of Thurman Thomas, one of the greatest backs of all time and a Hall of Famer. So, but I look at James Cook, and the thing that I really, really like about him, he has that zone blocking style. He's able to get to the line of scrimmage patiently and laterally cut one step and go. And that was something that Thurman did oh so well. He was really patient. And when he saw something right away, he could get downhill and go, but he was really patient as a back and let things develop. And Cooks has that ability. You know, as he gets older, he'll learn pass protection more. As he gets older, he'll understand ball protection more, not putting the ball on the ground, because he was never a chronic fumbler in college. But the pro game's a little different. Guys are a little stronger. Guys go after the ball more. It's just different, right? But, no, I think we have a running back. And Johnson's been doing a hell of a job as the second back. I think he's the second best back on the team. Latavius is good. Latavius serves his purpose. I'm not so sure that Leonard Fournette wouldn't do a better job than him. I think Leonard Fournette and him are probably about the same. But Johnson's been running well. Cooks, of course, have been running well with an all-pro season. I like where our running backs are. I think our tight ends are second to none. You can line up Dawson Knox and Kincaid, you know, the DK brothers. And those cats, I was excited for the Kincaid pick. Having a tight end be able to run routes like that and do what he does is a game changer. Again, offensive line playing at a high level, and hopefully Shakir continues to move forward. Diggs finds his early season maybe energy, or he heals up if he is banged up and gets to where he was. I mean, this offense is fine. It's got weapons. We want more at receiver. I disagree with you on the Hopkins thing. I don't think he'd have brought much to us if we signed him. I think he's a bit washed, to be honest with you. He's up there, and I think his better days are behind him. But – yeah, I think the offense, it is what it is. It's continuing to learn under Brady. I think you always got a chance because you got 17 back there, and his ability to ad lib is as good as anybody. And you just saw a team with a quarterback just like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson just beat up on the Dolphins. I believe we're very similar to Baltimore. I think Baltimore probably has a little more physicality to them. They probably do a few things a little bit better than us, but we can match Baltimore in a lot of areas, and I think you'll see that this weekend.
I agree, man. I'm really expecting the Bills to be more physical than the Dolphins, to be able to establish that run game, to be able to control the line of scrimmage on defense also, and to be able to beat that Dolphins team. Bills Mafia is traveling down south to Miami. I'm expecting to see a lot of Bills Mafia out there and kind of a neutral side. So it's going to be awesome to watch this game. And hopefully the Bills can come up on top and get that number two seed and keep the reins of the AFC East. It's going to be really interesting, to say the least, after all season long kind of being accepting the Dolphins to win the division, right? It was so farther away, and now the opportunity is there. So I think those Bills will be really motivated too.
And think about this. Think about this. Sunday night, when they hit the tunnel to go onto that field, they will know what they need. Either Pittsburgh or Jacksonville have lost, and they're already in, or they've both won, and they've got to win to get in. I mean, what better position to be in? They control their own destiny. That's all they ever wanted. It's all you ever want as an athlete. Give me the opportunity to control my destiny, and they will have that come Sunday night.
Yeah, man, it's already a playoff game for the Bills. So
yep,
it's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Big O, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much. And the doors of the Leading the Charge are always wide open for you. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, man. Always, man. I appreciate you having me on. It's always awesome, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Bills Mafia, thank you so much. I'll be back with the Leading the Check post-game show, not on Sunday because it's going to be really, really, really late here in Brazil, but the day after, for sure, in Portuguese for Brazil, Latin America, and all Portuguese-speaking language countries. And thank you so much. Hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Ramblings. This episode will be also live on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So I hope you enjoyed as much as I did talking football with Big O. Thank you, Big O, and see you, Bills Mafia. Go Bills.
Go Bills.